Good morning. Today's scriptures is 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10, and Proverbs 26, 13 and 14. An exhortation to proper living. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the traditions they received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Proverbs 26, 13 and 14. The lazy person claims there's a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. As a door swings back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in bed.
Early one week in August, I had this conversation with a barista. What time did you get here this morning? I got here at 4:30. Ow, that's really early. But the nice thing about it is that you get off early. Yeah, I pretty much have the rest of the day for myself, but I just go home and watch TV.
It was a perfect picture of sloth. Deadly sin number 4. Sloth is defined as a disinclination to action or work. It's called spiritual, or it's defined as spiritual inactivity or apathy. Another name for it that you will sometimes see is acedia. A-C-E-D-I-A, acedia. I guess I'm really kind of blown away that it made the list of 7 deadly ones. Isn't it kind of surprising to you? I mean, you would think in terms of, you know, these big monster, what we think of as monster sins, but the people that put together this list realize that sloth is so insidious. And it eats at our lives in such profound ways that it ought to be on the list of 7 deadly ones. Randy Rowland is the spokesman for the Seattle Seahawks. So whenever you hear a game being broadcast, it's Randy Rowland. Randy also has a seminary education, and he has a life faith community. He, in fact, wrote the book, The Sins We Love, which is about the 7 deadly sins. And he says this about himself. He said, I would go to school, come home, eat dinner, and then sleep until bedtime. I responded dully and listlessly to ideas. I gave up trying at school. I discovered marijuana, which for me amplified the dejection. Given the choice of being truly alive, many more of us would select the sleep state. And so Randy Rowland would have described his early life as being consumed to some degree by sloth. Sloth is, you're going to hear a lot of this kinds of, we're going to just keep coming at the definition in a lot of different ways. That's what you're going to hear a lot of this morning. But sloth has these characteristics. A personal state of dejectedness. Of just, probably something like poor me, or life is hard, or And they just give in to it. It's not that we don't all feel that at times, but we all either accept it or reject it. And a slothful person just gives in to it, just gets carried away by it. There's this state of feeling fearful or hesitant or weak will, like you just don't have the oomph to be able to do something about this thing that's overwhelming you. A feeling of despair. Well, how would you feel anything but despair if you just gave up and crawled in bed? A severe state of oppression. This is kind of goes back to the poor me thing. And the thing about sloth is it reminds me of the death of a friend of mine in Texas. Lane was in her 80s when she died, and she had pulmonary hypertension. And pulmonary hypertension began kind of in her legs, and it was just kind of this slow creeping death as it moved up her body. And I think that's what sloth is like. Sloth is intrusive, and it just takes over time, the more you give in to the belief system that goes with it. Thomas Aquinas said, and this is in the 1200s, is when he wrote this, sloth is sluggishness of the mind which neglects to begin good. Sloth is sluggishness of the mind which neglects to do good. It's so overwhelmed by this sluggishness that it doesn't have the energy to put one foot in front of the other. It doesn't have the energy to reach out to the other and to minister to the other and to do good to the other. The Pocket Catholic Catechism says, sloth is the desire for ease, even at the expense of doing the known will of God. It's the desire for ease, even if it causes me to give up on doing what I know God wants me to do. That's sloth. The slothful person, this catechism says, is unwilling to do what God wants because of the effort it takes to do it. So I've spent over 40 years in ministry, and one of the things that, you know, in retrospect, I kind of wonder if I was speaking to sloth when I think about the frustration that I had trying to get people to motivate people to do what would make such a difference in their life. Prayer or meditation or reading the Bible or doing good for others are all such wonderful things, but they all require discipline, don't they? They all require effort. And what sloth does is it pulls you back from that. It makes you think that you can't do it. It makes you think that this feeling, whatever that feeling is so great that there's no way you can summon up the kind of energy and determination that you need to move forward. How would you know if you were guilty of sloth? You know, I'll bet you that we've all had our moments with it. Don't you? Don't you think that? We've all had our moments with it. One of the things that's kind of hard to tag about sloth is that sometimes you can be extremely busy and still be slothful. Maybe you're busy watching TV, or maybe you're busy playing video games, or busy doing this, or busy doing that. You could even be going to work every day and be busy at that. and still be a slothful person. So with sloth, what differentiates it is this feeling of hopelessness that you often find. So the work that a slothful person will not do is meaningful work. They'll do busy work, but not meaningful work. They'll do mindless work, but not work which has a point and which leads in a direction and accomplishes something worthwhile. And sloth, of course, creates hopelessness, which also leads to nihilism. Now, that word may not mean anything to you. It's a philosophical word, but I'll tell you in a word what a nihilist is. Kurt Cobain. And Nirvana. That's nihilism. Listen to the words of one of his songs. "I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us." That's just a little bit. I mean, there's things far worse in Cobain's music. But slothful people are self-consumed. They have no place in their space for anybody else but themselves. There's a young woman I want to say to her, "Mom, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing?" She drops her little girl off. She's, I don't know, she's 10, 12, somewhere in there. She comes into Starbucks and she sits alone and she preens and she takes selfies. Lots of selfies. And she reads her cell phone. And I want to say to her, "Mom, you're creating a narcissist. You're creating somebody who has no room in their life for anybody else." Which is a definition of narcissism. Slothful people abdicate personal responsibility. I mean, that's what sloth is. It's not doing what you ought to be doing. Slothful people anesthetize their boredom or their disenchantment, their disheartened feeling with a variety of things. It could be drugs or alcohol or distraction. It could be a lot of things. Slothful people solicit pity to give permission for their idleness. Now, this is not a judgment on whatever pain they have in their life. I mean, there's lots of that to go around, isn't there? But we all know that pain can be a tool of Satan to pull us off course. And the minute that we go there and focus on that rather than the other things that we should be doing with our life that would help that. I lost my sentence there. Anyway, you see kind of where I was going with that. That's when I lose, is when I focus too much on that. Sloth has a net effect on our world. The first is it destroys human dignity. We don't live up to our potential when we give in to it. You know, God gave every person sitting in this room wonderful gifts. And you're created in the image of your Father. And the message, I think, of sloth the anti-message is live up to that potential. Give in to that, not into sloth, because sloth will destroy your ability to think about yourself in those ways. Sloth sabotages the work of God in us. The good that we could do is overcome by indifference. I can't get very excited about that. I love the image in Proverbs of the lazy person. That's the word that it's used there, but it describes the lazy person as somebody who moves back and forth on their bed like a door on its hinges. Indifference. No consideration of this wide, wonderful world that God has given us and how we could be interacting with it. Can you imagine what would happen to the gospel or to acts of compassion or all of those sorts of good things if we were slothful in regard to it? What would happen? Well, some final thoughts about how we combat it. Because I think we all know that it's a danger, and it's a danger for every one of us. I start feeling that way when I'm starting to feel burned out. And I know what my symptoms are. And when I start to feel those symptoms, it's time to do something different. You know, I need to alter some things in my life so that I don't give in to that. So how do you combat the sin of sloth? And here are a few ways. One is, don't quit. Sounds like a small thing. Sounds like it's almost too easy. But see, this, what sloth does is it causes us to quit. It causes us to give in. It causes us to yield. Don't quit. Does that mean life is going to be easy? No. Life is hard. I love what Victor Ramirez used to say. Said it to me on many occasions. He said, Bruce, life is hard. He wasn't complaining. He was just saying life is hard. And it is. But don't give up. You know, awful stuff happens to people. But don't give up. Ed and I were talking about Corrie Ten Boom last week, and Corrie Ten Boom wrote the book The Hiding Place. The Ten Boom family lived in Harlem, the Netherlands, just outside of Amsterdam. And her father had a jewelry shop, a watch shop, and they were Christians, and so they decided that there was something that they needed to do in order to help the Jews out. And so they built this special compartment upstairs. You couldn't tell the compartment was there, and they kept some Jews in that compartment. And the Nazis found out about it, and they arrested Corrie and her sister, so Corrie and her sister, Betsy, went to Bergen-Belsen, which sat next door to Auschwitz. Now, if there was ever a time to feel nihilistic, if there was ever a time to give up, to feel despair, would it not have been this moment? But her book, The Hiding Place, is full of hope. It's full of, we still feel God's presence in our life, even in this dark, awful place. Don't give up. Number two, do everything to the glory of God. And Paul says this twice. It's really interesting. One is in I believe Ephesians. I forgot to put the reference down here. But Paul reminds us, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Wow, that really changes things when you start thinking about it that way. And then he says in Colossians, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So you go to the pumpkin patch, do it for the glory of God. You take a pie to your neighbor, do it for the glory of God. You put in 8 good hours of work for your employer, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. And if I start thinking of my life that way, as opposed to the slothful way, which says, do it for yourself, then it changes the meaning of what I do and the significance of what I do. Number 3, this is the last one. And it's simply, let love be the highest ambition of your life. Sloth is not a loving thing. Sloth says, you know, I know Tara lost her mom, but I'm just too tired. It's not loving, is it? That's what sloth does. I know Rich is home ill, and I really ought to take some soup over there, but I'm just too tired. I'm too depressed. I'm too this. I'm too that. Before long, that becomes a lifestyle. But if I'm a loving person, I speak for the poor, I speak for the disenfranchised, I speak for the mistreated in this world. Proverbs 26:13 it makes me want to laugh in a way. It describes the slothful person in this way. The slothful person says, there's a lion outside. There's a lion in the street. I can't go outside. I can't do that. There's a lion out there. There's another text which says, I believe it says, there's a bear out there. And he goes back inside and puts his hand on the wall and gets bitten by a snake. But you see, that's what sloth causes us to do, is to just make excuses for our lives. We become paralyzed. Paul told the Ephesian Christians that they should stay away from believers who live idle lives. And he's talking about this. Stay away from them. Bad news. You don't want to get that infection. When do you experience sloth? What does it do to your life? How does it knock you off track? I'd like to encourage you to think about that this coming week. Let's pray. Dear Father, we know it's not your nature to exist in idleness. You created our world, entered into our lives in the form of Jesus, and in many other ways demonstrated the loving, created force you are. And we know that the same image is within us. Help us to not subdue that force, but to let it run loose in our lives. May we be people who work energetically to entirely participate in what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.